No man can reveal to you aught but that which already lies half asleep in the dawning of your own knowledge. The teacher who walks in the shadow of the temple among his followers gives not of his wisdom, but rather of his faith and his lovingness. If he is indeed wise, he does not bid you enter the house of his wisdom, but rather lead you to the threshold of your own mind. And this week's opening quote comes from Khalil Gibran. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, if you really want to comprehend and understand what's going on in the world today, what you need to factor in is the very real possibility that what we're witnessing is one big theatrical puppet show. Because when you really step back and look at it, you see that it really is, folks, you know. As a man once said, or as the Bacon Society once said, all the world is a stage. And people hear that statement and they don't really take it at face value. They don't really realize just how much of what we're seeing in the world today is in fact staged. And the world is absolutely created to be the way it is. I mean, many people may think, well, no, the reason the world is the way it is because there's actually no one at the helm and it's just a train riding out of control off the edge of a cliff. But really, when you look at it, folks, you can see that there is a deliberate design to what is happening and everybody is being played off against everybody else. And it's happening on so many levels and in virtually every aspect of our lives, so much, in fact, that most people simply can't see it because it is just so obvious. And again, it's happening on so many levels in so many ways that it's just become a normal part of everyday life. But our thoughts are very carefully being moulded by the system that we're in. And it's been an ongoing process, and it's been a very deliberate process. A great example of this, actually, is a video that I saw the other day. And if you are watching this on YouTube, I will be sure to put a link in the video description so you can go and check it out for yourself. And the video was called Selling Divorce to the West, which was a very interesting clip, which provided the statistics to virtually prove to you that the entire breakdown of society as we know it, the breakdown of the family unit, was a very well-planned event, very well-orchestrated event. It happened worldwide in the 1960s, and the main purveyor of this mental attitude to break down the family unit was, of course, Hollywood. Interesting how that works, isn't it? Hollywood has always been for mind control, of course. We've talked about this probably before. Years past, I would have mentioned that the old magic wands that they used to talk about and used to use were always made of wood from the holly tree. And this is because Hollywood was believed to have magical properties and could be used for mind control and to make magic spells, make people believe things, you know, weave illusions, change reality. You know, all the sort of stuff that you generally do with magic and magic wands. But they were very specific that they liked to make them from wood from the holly tree. One might question whether that's why they named Hollywood the way they did, or you could look at it from the other direction. You could ponder the question whether Hollywood was called Hollywood because there were people who remembered what ancients were doing with wood from the holly tree in regard to mind control, or whether the ancients who used wood from the holly tree did so because they remembered the influence that Hollywood had over people. You just got to wonder whether time is in fact cyclic. But anyway, that's another question and another story and probably the topic for an entire radio show if we wanted to get into the concepts of time travel and cyclic time and the relevance of deja vu and all of that sort of stuff. Interesting concepts, but not quite really relevant for what we're facing in the world today. Though interesting to look at anyway. But anyway, back on track. Realizing just how much we have been played and how much we've been taught to disconnect ourselves from reality by our own belief systems and the belief systems that have been superimposed over us. I mean, even the belief systems people have, you've got to question whether this is really your belief system or whether it's somebody else's thoughts and somebody else's belief system that they've just got you to go along with. And again, you could reference the opening quote as the teacher that you are learning from asking you to step into his reality or their reality or her reality, whoever your teacher may be, or are they leading you to the threshold of your own mind? Because very often we're simply adopting other people's belief systems and taking them on as our own. And you really do see this to a huge degree, folks. I mean, people are taking other people's realities on all the time. You've got people fighting for causes that they're not even involved in personally. They're just fighting for it because they believe it's a just cause. But why do they believe it's a just cause? Where do they get the idea from? And what is the cause that they're actually participating in? Now, is it something that comes from their personal experience, or is it a reality that someone else has given them to accept as reality? Because we find that this is very much the case in much of what we think about society. I mean, look at all the social justice warriors, look at all the political correctness, look at all the racism, all of the stuff that we're facing, all of which is a result of programming and very often the result of people adopting other people's belief systems and accepting other people's thoughts as being their own. And it's a question that people generally don't ask themselves or are afraid to ask themselves. You know, are the thoughts that you're having thoughts that are born from your own experience in the world, or are they someone else's thoughts that you're just going along with? You know, are your thoughts your own? Because if the thoughts that you're having are not born from your own experience, then where do they come from? Why are you having them? It's because they're not your thoughts. They're someone else's. Maybe a little bit difficult to come to terms with for some people, but if you look deep enough, you're going to find out that that's generally what's going on. Even with some of the stuff that I do, I'm constantly checking whether the thoughts I'm having are in fact my own. Now, the human species has been quite literally subject to so much programming that it becomes very difficult to discern where people's belief systems really come from, you know, if they're prepared to look deep enough within themselves and ask that question anyway. Now, recently, actually, you know, like I mentioned last week or the week before that there was an Iranian news reporter who was arrested, Marzaya Hashimi. And during the report that I was giving on her arrest, I mentioned that Marzaya was actually both an American citizen and she was a Negro woman. And I got quite a little bit of flack for using the word Negro. And that's an interesting thing because we all know how there's a deliberate effort to merge all of the species together, to merge all races into one race. Now, when we talk about unity and we talk about we are all one and all this sort of thing, that's great from a spiritual perspective, but we don't want to just have one single race. We want to be able to keep our cultural diversity because that's what makes humans so amazing is the fact that we are so diverse. But you think about it, folks, how we're all being programmed to accept this merging of all peoples and all races and all cultures into one race and one culture. I mean, we can see this happening clearly everywhere around the world. This is what the mass migration into Europe and all of our countries is all about. It's about merging everyone into this one slave race. And coming back to the fact why people would find the word Negro to be offensive, it's all part of this same plan. Because when you look at it, you know, if you really want to get down to basics and look at the human species, the anthropos, whatever you want to call it, there are, in fact, five different types of humanoids, or anthropods, whatever you want to call them. There are five distinct types of anthropods, humanoids, on this earth. There are those of the Caucasian gene. There are those of the Negroid gene. There are those of the Australoid gene, those of the Mongoloid gene, and those of the Oriental gene. And these words, Caucasian, Australoid, Negroid, Mongoloid, Oriental, are all genealogical references. There's nothing racist or derogatory about any of those terms. These are all references to people's natural genealogy. And yet, very often these days, if you refer to a black person as a Negro, they find it offensive. If you refer to a Chinese person or a Japanese person as an Oriental, they find it offensive. If you refer to someone from the Middle East or India or Turkey or any of this as a Mongoloid, they find it offensive. You've even got a situation now in the United States, it's been like this for a while, whereby black people in the United States are offended by the word Negro and would prefer to be called African American. And the word African actually comes from the renaming of the continent of Kemet to Africa by the Roman general Scipio Africanus, who was in fact a Caucasian. And so through this system and through the programming that they receive, people have been taught to find any reference to their own natural genealogy as being an insult and as being offensive. Now think about that, folks. Where does that lead people when they become ashamed of what their genealogy is and they find any reference to their natural genealogy and their natural cultural heritage to be offensive? Can you see where we're being led with all this? And if you are someone out there who is a black man or a black woman and you find the word Negro offensive, ask yourself why. If you're a Chinese or a Japanese person and you find the word Oriental offensive, ask yourself why. Is this your own thought due to your own life experience, or is it simply a program that's been put into your head? Because if you really look, you're going to find that it is. But if you wanted to merge all of the peoples into one slave race, you first have to get them to want to do it. And you first have to get them to be ashamed and repulsed by any reference to their own natural genealogical heritage. And that is exactly what all of this political correctness and all of this programmed racist thinking is doing. You know, cultural Marxism is very real and it takes many forms. And it's been an ongoing program that's been quite subtle in the way it's been done. But you think about it, folks, like you've got white people who are desperate to go out and get a suntan and go to suntanning machines because they want to darken their skin. You've got Filipino people who really want to whiten their skin because they want to be more like white people. You've got a lot of Asian people who have operations so that they don't have Asian eyes because they want to change that because they've been taught to be ashamed of their appearance. And it's all a program. The whole thing is a program. It's just people being taught to not be happy with their own genealogy and to find something offensive and something wrong with their own natural genealogy. I mean, what's it all about? It's a program, folks. That's what it's all about. And it's all about getting people to disconnect from their natural heritage and to be quite comfortable with merging all as one big slave race of coffee-coloured people who all work for the same boss. I mean, it's even been done to white people through this whole concept of white genocide. White people have been taught to hate themselves because of what white governments have done. So white people are becoming ashamed of being white and they're happy to be exterminated. I mean, the whole concept of white privilege, what's that all about? I mean, I'm white. I grew up in a storm drain. I've had to fight in tooth and claw and nail for everything that I've ever had. So where's this white privilege come from? And really, when you look at Western countries, you have a lot of migrants come into Western countries. You get all of these government benefits handed to them because we don't want to have white privilege. But none of the white people get any of these privileges that are given to the migrants. So really, it's migrant privilege in order to combat white privilege, of which there is none. The whole thing's a program, folks. But people think there is white privilege, again, because of the white people who sit at the top of so many governments and banking institutions who've engineered all of this. And it's all been done by design, folks. You know, it's all been done by design. It's all just so that people are constantly at each other's throats and at loggerheads with each other, and people are constantly disrespecting people from whatever race it is that they can figure out this disrespect for. Because it's all programmed. All the races are played off against each other. That's all the result of programming. It really is, folks. You know, I even got in so much flack when I put out a show recently called Everything is a Lie, and I referred to the fact that the lost race that we appear to be looking for appears to have been a very tall race of pale, white-skinned, red-haired people. So many black people attacked me for that, saying I'm trying to say white people are the beginning of all life and intelligence and all this sort of stuff. Well, no, I'm not, folks. I mean, it's just that these people happen to be white. And the people that I'm referring to appear to have been very tall people with possibly elongated skulls. So they're not even Caucasian. I mean, when you look at some of these skulls, such as the Paracas skull, there's every indication they may not even have been human. It's just that their skin happened to be white. So I got no vested interest in it being white people who did anything special at all, or black people who did anything special. I got no vested interest in any one particular race being the first or anything like that. All I'm attempting to do through all of these shows is find out what the truth is and encourage other people to think and to question where their thoughts are coming from. And really, folks, I think everybody should be doing this. I really think we need to step back and realize just how much every single person here is being played. I mean, every race is being played. Every movement is being played. Every establishment is being played. Even the whole situation with Israel and Palestine, this is all a play, the whole thing. It's contrived to be that way, and it will never be healed. And while that's going on, and while we're focusing all our attention on trying to heal that situation, which will never be healed, we're not noticing what's happening in our own countries, how what is going on in Gaza and Palestine and what happened during Bolshevism is now being set up in all of our countries. What happened to Germany between World War I and World War II? This is what is happening in the United States, what's happening in England, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Australia. It's happening right around the world, and people need to pay attention to it. Now, people need to put down all these differences and embrace their cultural heritage, embrace who and what they are and be proud of that. And respect the people around you, and let's turn and all face this system together, folks, and pull our support from this slave system which is running this world into the ground. That's the only way we're ever going to get any salvation from the situation that we're in. It really is. And I know I'll get a lot of flack for even saying that and using the word salvation. I'll get a lot of flack from the Christians for daring to suggest that we could be responsible for ourselves at any point. I mean, which is really essentially what Jesus said in the Bible anyway, if you want to believe such things. For all those people out there who keep on attacking me as well with the quotes from the King James Bible, you're all out there and you're saying this and you're saying that and you're talking about Jesuits and you're talking about Freemasons and all this sort of stuff. I just want to point out to you that there is every possibility, and some may dispute it, and there's even been websites to say, no, this is definitely not a possibility. But, well, some people have said that it is, and it is quite possible that King James was actually a Freemason. The King James Bible is actually a Freemason-released Bible, so perhaps you need to think about that a little bit as well. And if you say you're not going to support the Freemasons and support what these secret societies within Freemasonry have done, then perhaps you need a little bit of consistency in your non-support for Freemason-released literature, which may well include the King James version of the Bible. I mean, we don't know, but it may well include that book. And another interesting thing about that, folks, if you look at the work of Romilly Stewart and you look at what Dog Latin's all about, go and look at a website called the Justinian Deception. And I've mentioned Romilly's work many times. He does great work. But have a look at Dog Latin and how that works, your capital's text. And then pick up your King James Bible and tell me what it says on the cover. Because what you're going to find is the letters H-O-L-Y-B-I-B-L-E. And they're going to be in all capitals on the cover of that book, which means there's actually nothing written on the cover of that book because there is no word in English that is spelled in all capitals. And when you look through the King James Bible, you're going to find that the word Lord has been capitalized in its every instance throughout the book, which means the word Lord has been removed from the book. So in fact, God has been removed from the King James Bible. So, was King James a Freemason? Was the King James Bible a Freemason release? Well, I don't know, but that is certainly an interesting thing to do to the Bible, wouldn't you think? And you think about it, if you're asked to swear on a Bible when you go to court, and it is the King James version of the Bible, and it has nothing written on the cover, and every instance of the Lord within the Bible has been capitalized and so thereby removed from the book, then you are swearing on a book which has had God removed from it by a deliberate grammatical deception. And if you're in a legal system, you're operating according to the parameters of a legal system which is based on biblical law, and they are giving you a book which has had God removed from it to swear on when you enter that court, what are you actually doing? Think about it. And that's irrespective of whether you believe in the Bible, whether you're a Christian or not. You've got to remember that this entire legal system is based on ecclesiastic law. And think about the deception in how they're actually running this system, even with what they've done to the Bible. You know, you really need to be aware of what you're giving your energy to, ladies and gentlemen. And I know I get attacks for that, but I really don't care. All I'm asking is for people to look at what they are referencing and be a little bit consistent in what they're supporting and what they're not supporting. Now, it's necessary that people do this, folks, because, as I said, we are all being played off against each other. I mean, really, when you step back, you can see it. You can see just how effective this mechanism has been. You know, how effective the education system has been at dividing people as well. As I've often said, you know, you go to school and they teach you one thing, and it takes you years to learn that when they could teach you actually in a couple of weeks, and you could teach it all together. You could look at things holistically, but they don't. They teach you to learn a trade, so you only learn one thing. And as I've said, you've got people who are great at building a house, but they can't mill the wood, they can't fix a car, they can't do the plumbing, they can't do the electrics, they can't do all these other things. They can't grow a garden, but they're great at building a house. You know, the compartmentalization of information, the compartmentalization of education through classrooms and the peer group pressure that happens in classrooms. They've compartmentalized everything. That's why it's really difficult to even bring this information to people who work within the system, because even the system is compartmentalized. You know, a lot of the people working in government who are involved in some really bad things don't even know what they're involved in. And a lot of people who enter government quite literally believe they can make a difference. They think the system is real. And when they get in there, they can't get anywhere because it's all so compartmentalized. And it's all done by design. Even our societies and our belief systems and our activism is compartmentalized. I mean, look at all the social justice warriors. Look at all of the different things that they're dealing with, all the different causes that they're fighting for, which are really all the one cause. They're all government corruption. But they don't ever look at it that way. They don't ever look at the system itself as being the cause of the problem. They look at other people and other people who think differently to them as being the cause of the problem. So it just, again, compartmentalizes the response against the system. And it's the same with the truth movement. Too many people are locked in their belief systems and they view only people who adhere to their belief systems as being their allies, when everybody is actually fighting for the same cause, which is freedom. You know, but you've got people who believe one thing, people who believe another thing, people who point the finger at the Jesuits, people who point the finger at the Jews, people who point the finger at the Freemasons, people who point the finger at the Vatican, aliens, you name it, doesn't matter. But they all fight with each other. It doesn't matter. They don't realize that it's all part and parcel to the same thing. All of these mysteries exist because of the inherent corruption of the system itself. And all of the governments and all of these parties and all these secret societies work together. They don't even look at it that way. They just have a compartmentalized response to a compartmentalized system, and they think they're going to get somewhere, but they're not. Now, what we have to do, folks, as I've said so many times, is remove our support from it. See it for what it is. See it as the one organism and just the fiction that is involved in it and how much we are all played against each other. But as I said before, one of the most important things is for people to analyze the thoughts that they're having and check out where their belief system really comes from. Is it their own belief system? Does it come from your own life experience? Or are you simply adopting someone else's idea of what reality is and taking it on as your own and then fighting and arguing with people who believe something different because they've done generally exactly the same thing as you have done? You know, they say it's a blessing to be born with eyes that see. But, you know, really when you look at the situation mankind is in, it really does become quite sad when you can see it. You can see how easy the solution would be, and you can see just how much we've been disconnected from who and what we are, disconnected from each other. And like I said, all of this hatred we're trained to feel against ourselves. I mean, I put out a show recently as well, within the last year or so, called Why Was I Taught to Hate Myself? And in that show, I kind of went through that, and don't think I hate myself, folks. I don't. I put out that show for people who do hate themselves to try to explain to them why they have been programmed to think that way and the fact that it is actually a program. But it's very subtle the way it works. Like I said, even black people being offended by the word Negro, this is a form of self-hate. You know, there's nothing offensive about that word. White people being taught to hate themselves because of white privilege that doesn't actually exist. You know, white people believing that white people are blame for all the problems that we see in the world when they're not. The problems are created by the psychopaths who run the system, irrespective of the color of their skin. You know, there's psychopaths in control of all governments, folks. If you weren't a psychopath, you wouldn't be there to begin with. I mean, who would want the position to begin with? I mean, would you really want a position where you're running a country? No, of course you wouldn't. No one of any brains or any sanity wants to do anything like that. Everyone just wants to live in quiet enjoyment of their own life. That is most people's goals, really, if you step back and look at the world, folks, and you ask people what their ambitions are. Ultimately, it comes back to quiet enjoyment of whatever it is they enjoy doing the most. And we should all be able to do that. We should all be allowed to do that, but we're prevented from doing that by governments. And as I said, normal people simply don't want that position. I mean, really, folks, would you want a position where you're just messing up people's quiet enjoyment? Because that's what governments do. I mean, ultimately, that it's the whole purpose of governments to control the entire narrative. And they really have done a huge number on mankind. And as I said, it does become quite sad when you see just how disconnected we've become. You know, sometimes you can look at this situation and feel quite hopeless in the face of it, view the situation as hopeless anyway. It happens to me. Sometimes I despair when I see just what we once had and just what we could be and just how far from that we are. But then I can see that it's all due to this compartmentalization. It's all due to the programming people have got. And if we can find a way of reaching vast numbers of people and getting a message to enough people and say it in a simple enough manner, just break it down to its basic structure, I totally believe people will get it. I really do. I mean, I have an enormous amount of faith in the human race. I really do. I have an enormous amount of faith and confidence in the human spirit to be able to rise above all of this. It's just that many people don't have the eyes to see. And very often, I would suggest, it's because the thoughts they're having are not their own thoughts. You know, very few people base their thoughts on their life experience, as I've been saying. Most people simply read books or watch the television or get opinions from others, you know, but they don't really go and look at the situation for themselves. The situation in the Middle East, most people have got no clue what's going on in the Middle East. All they know is what they read in the newspapers, what the television tells them, and so they consider themselves authorities on it, but they've never been there. You know, and you have to go there if you want to know what is really going on, folks. You can't really talk about the jungle if you haven't been to the jungle. You can't really talk about any situation with any real degree of knowledge or understanding if you've never actually participated in that situation. Now, you've got to get your knowledge yourself, and we need to do this. You know, life experience, it's another thing that this system has taken from us, folks, is the life experience and the life skills. It has really done a number on people's life skills. Again, this is why everything is so compartmentalized. Why you only ever learn to do one thing, you're encouraged to get a trade rather than learn everything. Because if you knew how to do everything, then you certainly would not need the system. And that's what they do, folks. That's what it's for. Divide and conquer. And it works on so many levels, even with the education and the allocation of life skills. Divide and conquer. All the skills are divided, so all the people are divided. Everybody's minds are divided. We're all divided, folks, and it's all been contrived, and the whole thing has been planned to be that way. And really, all you got to do is step back and look at the world, and it becomes very, very clear how this all works. But I think we have reached break time here, folks. I better leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for joining me. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so as I said on the show last week, I would desperately love to be bringing you all sorts of positive information on these shows. I really would. I mean, I get very tired of bringing negative information to people, and I really would like to find something positive in the world to be able to bring you. You know, I think the uncovering of history that's going on has been quite positive. I think the amount of awakening that is coming from that is quite positive. But by the same token, when I look around me, I don't see anything in the world really changing. I see the governments going hell for leather, really falling over themselves to introduce as much new legislation as they can and to lock down people's rights as much as they can, to remove people's rights anyway, to lock down the flow of information and the flow of data. We're seeing an enormous amount of censorship being introduced. Now we've seen YouTube announce that it's going to start shadow banning conspiracy videos, anything that it considers to be conspiratorial anyway. So you're not going to see recommendations coming up in your playlists. You're not going to be able to see my videos unless you actually go to the channel and search for them. And as always, it's doing other things as well, such as for people who do not place upvotes on your videos when they watch them, very often they will place a downvote on their behalf just so the videos get noticed by the people at YouTube who look for such things. Because this would be a way they can determine which videos they want to flag and which videos they want to shadow ban. You know, the videos that have got the most downvotes, of course, are going to attract their attention. And YouTube, again, places those downvotes by default for people who do not upvote the videos that they watch. Generally, anyway, they do this if it's conspiratorial videos. I've noticed it very much on my channel because I've had a lot of people comment that this is what they do. So there is a real attempt at censorship that is being launched by YouTube and Facebook and many other platforms. And I really don't expect my channel will last too long. I mean, it's doing too well at the moment for YouTube not to notice what's going on, and I'm pretty sure they're going to take action against it. It wouldn't surprise me anyway if they do. Just a bit of a warning out there for people. Again, if that does happen, I do have a BitChute account, and I'll try to upload to things like DLive and places like that, you know, DTube. I've had enormous amount of problems with DTube when I've tried uploading to it before, but apparently it's changed over to DLive. But again, I still haven't been able to access it or upload any videos since I've been home. I mean, maybe it's the bandwidth here. It's been the same with my MeWe account, actually. For those people who have sent me friend requests and all sorts of stuff on MeWe, I actually haven't been able to open the MeWe site ever since I got back to Australia last June. So that's why I have not been active on that site at all. So again, this could be due to bandwidth, or it could be part of the censorship program that is being launched pretty well blanket across the internet by Google and the main internet providers. We're also seeing mass surveillance laws coming in here in Australia, data retention laws, access to people's equipment, access to laptops and phones. You know, the police can stop you on the street and ask you to access your phone and laptop. If you refuse, you can get up to 10 years jail time for doing so. And just remember that all the data on your laptop and phone can be recalled as well, folks. So any conversations you've had can all be recalled. All the websites you've visited, all of your browsing history, everything can be recalled from your phones and your laptops. Even if you've deleted it, that doesn't matter with the new systems. It all can be recalled. And with the new anti-terror laws that they're introducing in all of our countries, virtually anything you say against the government these days can be construed as terrorism. And we're seeing the government ramping up the nanny state to a ridiculous degree as well. And of course, any failure to comply with the nanny state can be construed as terrorism on behalf of the government, because, as I said, they can construe anything as terrorism these days. The laws are so broad. And we've got 5G rolling out, and everything is just continuing the way it's been going. Cash is being slowly removed. We've got new supermarkets now, such as Walgreens and a bunch of other supermarkets as well. There's actually 3 or 4, I think, in this group that is trying this, but they're all putting surveillance in the supermarkets so that when you go browsing in supermarkets and looking for items, everything is spying on you. It's all looking at your facial patterns. It's all using facial recognition. It's seeing what you're looking at and what you're not looking at. It's socially profiling you and what you're buying, what you're likely to buy, so it knows what advertising to target you with. And it's also tracking everybody's purchases when they use credit cards at the checkout. So this is mass surveillance coming in supermarkets now as well, folks. So I suggest that you look up which supermarkets are doing that and you boycott these establishments and tell them why you're boycotting their establishment, and share the information with other people and suggest that they boycott these establishments as well. You know, we really have to stop participating in this system, folks. We really got to nip things in the bud, because, you know, with all the awakening that I'm seeing, all the revealing of history and all the stuff that's going on, I'm still seeing this system rolling out hell for leather. The politicians, as I said, are falling over themselves to put it in place because they're terrified of this awakening that is happening. And though the awakening is good, it's good to see so many people becoming aware of the corruption. If we don't nip this surveillance and control grid in the bud before it gets rolled out to its completion, then it's not going to do us very much good at all. So in that respect, it becomes very difficult to find positive things to bring people on the radio show. I'd really love to be bringing something positive to the table, something that is at least showing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But no matter how many times I see that light appearing, it just seems to fade because too few people are actually paying attention to the system that is rolling out underneath everything else. You know, one real concern for me is the attitude that a lot of young kids seem to have towards government. I mean, a lot of people worship the government as their friend. A lot of young people, a lot of millennials that I'm seeing, quite literally think the government is the best friend they've ever had, and the government is only there to protect them. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, honestly, the brainwashing it must take in the education system to train kids to think this way. I mean, you wouldn't have anybody thinking this way when I was a child at school. most people could at least see the system as being corrupt as it is, but we're not seeing that in the millennials, and they're so dependent upon the technology, and they've been so compartmentalized in their education that they've got no life skills at all. I mean, most of these kids are coming out of school and they can't even write or spell properly. Kids getting jobs in hardware stores that need to watch instruction videos on how to use a tape measure. They've got personal assistants to direct them to everything they need to do so they don't have to think about anything, and they've got no life skills whatsoever, and they're completely dependent upon the government, whom they think is their best friend. I mean, this is a very, very dangerous situation, folks, and it's like we've gone from a dysfunctional reality into a virtual reality. I mean, really, I mean, what these kids are thinking, so many of them, is so far from reality as to be virtual reality in the real world. And as the nanny state progresses, it's just getting worse and worse. So, you know, so in that environment, it does become extremely difficult to find that light at the end of the tunnel as positive as I want to be. But the bottom line is that we have to stand up against this system. We have to start making noise, ladies and gentlemen. People that are listening to these shows, people that know this information, you've got to start making noise in your local community. Going to local council meetings and doing all the stuff that I've been suggesting for so many years, you've got to get offline and get out there in the real world and start making a difference. Start making your voices heard. Start questioning authority and start questioning these politicians in regard to the validity of the legislation that they're introducing, because all of this legislation is removing people's rights from them and it's causing harm under the guise of protecting them from terrorism. And really, the legislation itself is terrorism. Yeah, as I've said so many times, folks, go and look at the Oxford English Dictionary and look up the word terrorism. It's defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. And that is what legislation does. This is violence or the threat of violence that is being enforced against civilians in order to coerce them into compliance with the criminal cabal who is masquerading as government in all of our countries. And we need to identify that fact and call it for what it is. Because if we don't, then we're just allowing ourselves to be led to slaughter, ladies and gentlemen. We really are. And, you know, it's just not acceptable. Really, it's not acceptable. The world being in the state that it's in is not acceptable. And the world's in the state that it's in because it's legislated to be that way, because no one questions it. Because everyone's too busy being divided and arguing with everybody else about all of this ridiculous stuff that we've been given, all these programs that have been installed into us, all this software that people are running, which causes them to view other people as the enemy, when the whole thing has been contrived. All of this animosity has been manufactured for you to buy into. You know, all of the racial and social division, class division, all of this stuff, it's all manufactured for you to buy into. It really is. You know, everything we've been fed is so far from the truth. You know, the history of the world is wrong. The history of World War I, World War II is wrong. The history of the slave trade even appears to be wrong as well. Again, I urge people to go and look at the work of Dane Calloway. Whether he's right or not, it's still a very, very interesting perspective. And when you look at the history of Tartaria, and you look at the fact that this was a worldwide culture and the fact that it was a multiracial culture. Most of these people from different cultures were already in these countries. They're not brought there as a result of any slave trade. Many of them were born there. Many of them are native to those countries. And look at the fact that virtually everybody was running slaves. It wasn't just the white people like we're told. It wasn't even just Jewish slavers as we're told. Everybody was doing it. Now, most of the slaves that were trafficked around the world, if you look at the foundling trains and the orphan trains and the baby raffles that were going on circa 1890 to 1915, then you realize that most of the slaves that were sent all around the world were children. So history is very different to what we've been told, folks. Everything is different to what we've been told. And it's all the division that this false history has created that is one of the most useful tools of this system. This is what's put everybody against each other and kept everybody arguing over situations that were apparently there in the past that we've got no way of proving, and situations that exist in the world today that cannot possibly be healed without people finding the trueness and the true nature of themselves. Now, the situation in Palestine and Israel, this will never, ever be healed until the people of the world discover themselves. That's what will heal the situation. When people just put their guns down and go home and stop supporting a system that doesn't support them, stop traveling around the world and killing other people's sons and daughters on behalf of other people who tell you to do so, when there's no reason for you to do so, because all these conflicts are contrived and manufactured all by the same people, and they're all working together to do it. Now, how do you bring that information to people? I mean, you know, if people could really see the world for what it is, I'm convinced that they would all simply put down their tools and stop and go home. They really would. They'd stop participating if they could just see it for what it is, if they could claw themselves off the treadmill long enough and stop worrying about their bills and stop worrying about their overheads and stop worrying about all the stuff they need to do in order to collect the paper they need to pay to be alive. Just for 5 minutes, we could change things. You know, I wish I could get onto a mountaintop and just scream, stop, to the world and just have everybody pay attention for just 5 minutes. And if we could just find some way of doing that, folks, that's really what we need. Some way of bringing massive amounts of information in a quick enough manner and a simple enough format for people to actually get it, for the penny to drop, and for people to stop complying with their own slavery and stop complying with this slavery system that is being rolled out around us. It's really important that people pay attention and that they stand up and do something about it, folks. And as I said, if you are out there and you are awake, it's really important that you make your voice heard. Even if you don't do it too publicly, I mean, if you don't do it online, you don't go to council meetings or whatever, at least go to local community meetings, at least talk to your neighbours, at least talk to the people around you about this stuff, or play them these radio shows or something. I mean, just show them the legislation that is rolling out. I mean, anything. Just do what you can to make a difference, because the door is swinging shut very quick, folks. It really is. The door is rapidly swinging shut. It's been swinging shut for a while, but it is definitely speeding up. And as I said, I'd love to be bringing you something positive on these shows, but I'm just not seeing the world change. I mean, sure, Trump's doing a few things. I mean, he's undermining the deep state and all that sort of stuff, but you've got to look at what Trump is. He's simply a different business plan. The whole system still goes ahead, whichever one is at the helm. I'm sure if Clinton was in there, there'd be more wars, there'd be more death and destruction. But with Trump, it's just a different business model. He's not changing anything. It's just a different path to the same ultimate goal, which is a one-world system, one-world lockdown, turn everywhere into everywhere else, merge all the races together, lock the people down. And that's what's happening. Regardless of how you look at it, and regardless of who you think is at the helm, and regardless of what good you think they're doing, that's what's happening. It's all leading to the same direction that it's always been leading to. And if we don't stop the direction that we're heading, folks, well, we're going to end up where we're going. And that won't be a good place. You know, when you really take things into perspective and you look at the fabrication of history that's happened to us, and you look at all of the things that I addressed in the first half of the show, how people have been taught to disrespect their own natural heritage and their own natural genetic culture. And it brings to mind the quote by Marcus Garvey when he said that a man with no history is like a tree with no roots. And you look at how all this has been done, folks. You look at what this really does to the human species when you remove people's history from them. And when you remove people's parents from them, the way this system is done as well, this is something that I've talked about on earlier shows as well. The fact that our parents were replaced by television for most people. So a lot of people go through their lives searching for something and they don't really know what it is. But it's because there was never any natural bond that developed between them and their parents when they were a child. Now, the parents usually are too busy running on the treadmill, and they're thinking that this is what they need to do to support their family. You know, a father goes away and works hours upon hours every week to raise the money to support his family, and he thinks that that's what he needs to do. But what he's doing is he's just spending time away from them. And when he gets home to spend time with them, he's exhausted. The mother is given all sorts of false parameters to judge herself by, and the children are usually simply placed in front of a television, and so they bond with the television. They bond with their school teachers very often more than they do with their parents, because they view the school teachers as being someone who's teaching them, when really it should have been their parents who were teaching them for those first 5 or 6 years of their life. But their parents were too busy, they were too distracted, because they had to be, because the system demands that they are. And so people go through their lives looking for some sense of value. And it's the same for people who've had their history stolen from them. You know, if you don't know who you are, you don't know what your history is, then you have no roots and you have no sense of value. You have no sense of what you really are. And if your history has been fabricated and falsified the way it's done, then What value do you perceive yourself to have? Now, when you look at the work of people such as I mentioned, Dane Calloway, you look at the concepts that he's putting forth, the fact that a lot of the black people in the United States are very likely Native Americans. They weren't brought there as slaves. They were just told that they were, because that creates that bitterness within them. It removes them from the roots of who they really are, and it creates this schism in their minds whereby they have this need for revenge for an event that didn't actually happen. You know, look at what happened in World War II with the claim of the Holocaust. And folks, I don't care what anybody says. You go and research the Holocaust and you'll find no evidence to support it. All you find are a lot of fabricated stories. And a lot of the people who fabricate these stories admit on their deathbed that they fabricated the stories. But what the Holocaust has done is it's created this collective guilt in the minds of the German people, whereby now you've got 13, 14-year-old kids who want to commit suicide simply because they're German, because they've had their roots destroyed. They've had their whole sense of purpose and any value they may have ever felt as a race destroyed and taken from them. You know, not only as a race, but as a person. You know, if you are born German, then you are a low-life, despicable mass murderer. That's what is taught to the German people. And it's disgraceful. It's despicable. And when you think about it, folks, what happens to people when you remove and you change their history and you feed them a false paradigm? Step back and look at the world. And you see exactly how we've been brought to this point. And you see how important it is for people to acknowledge this and to acknowledge that all they really know is that what they experienced themselves. All the stuff they read in books, they've got no way of proving any of this stuff. None of it. All the history that we've been given is provably falsified and fabricated. I mean, there's so much evidence lying around the world which tells a completely different story to the one academia is saying. And, you know, if there were one artifact, if there were two artifacts lying around the world that tell a different story to the academic version of history, then obviously the academic version is wrong. But there isn't just one or two. There is literally hundreds, possibly even thousands of artifacts lying all over the earth which clearly tell you that the official academic version of history is not only wrong, but it has been deliberately fabricated to remove people from their roots and to remove from people any knowledge of who and what they are and where they come from. You know, divide and conquer is the motto, folks, and it's been done on so many levels. As I said, even with the way people are trained to only get one skill through the education system, you're trained to get a trade. So you want to know how to do one thing. You don't know how to do anything else. Divide and conquer. Divide the knowledge. Divide the minds of people. Divide everybody in every single way that you can. And that is exactly what's been done to us. And you can see it so clearly. You can see it so clearly if you could just step off the system for a little while. Step off the treadmill and just step back and look at it. Look at things for what they are. And please, please look within. And find that beauty of yourself. Find that spark. Find that inner child. Because it's still there. And that may sound really weird and lame and new age, but hey, it's there. I know it's there because it's still in me. I don't feel a day different to what I did when I was 5 or 10 years old. I mean, I know a lot more now than what I did then, but I was kind of figuring it out then already. I'd already figured out the world was all messed up. But sure, I've got a lot more knowledge now, but the person that I was is ultimately still the same person that I was when I was a very small child. I haven't changed. My mind has simply got more input into it, but it hasn't aged at all. You know, to say that all of this whole situation is the result of a loss of self and that the key to the whole thing is love, you risk sounding lame, you risk sounding new age. But ultimately, it is, folks. You know, all of the division that we've got against each other has been manufactured. All of it has. Even the division that people feel towards Israel and all that sort of stuff, it's manufactured. It's done to create the worldwide hatred of the Jews, because a lot of the Jews don't actually support what's going on in Israel. But it creates the excuse for Israel to do what it does and claim that all the Jews are hated. It makes sure that all the Jews are hated. You know, but it's a program. It's all a program. Everybody is running programs, and most people, as I said, most of these social justice warriors and radical leftists and all this sort of stuff, they're fighting causes that they're not actually involved in themselves. They're just fighting according to whatever belief system has been superimposed over their own knowledge and over their own mind. And very often it's nothing that they experience themselves. It's got nothing to do with their own life. It's just this need for them to find some value in themselves. You know, so they find a cause that they think they believe in, and they fight against that cause or for that cause. You know, they do it because they want to have value, because they can't see the bigger picture. They can't see that all of these things they're fighting, all of these different things that all of these social justice warriors are fighting, are all actually the same thing. They're all government corruption, all of them, and all of the problems that they're fighting actually exist because they've been legislated to exist. Now, all the problems that we have in the world exist because they're legislated to exist. I mean, I know I've said it over and over again, folks, but you know, it's that understanding that's going to change things. You know, when people really realize the beauty of themselves and see just how much they've been played and how much they really don't know what's going on, because all they know is what they've read in books. You know, the whole history that they've got is just the stuff they read in books. You know, they haven't got any oral traditions. They haven't got any of the real stuff that was handed down. It used to be handed down from generation to generation. All of those traditions have been squashed. Now we're just fed what's in the books, and the books are rewritten and rewritten and revised and revised, and history is replaced and replaced, and nobody has a clue what's going on, because all they've got is what the mainstream has given them to consider to be real. But there's no actual assurance that any of it is real. And as I said, folks, when you look around the world, you find that everything that exists on this earth very much speaks, and speaks very loudly, to the real fact that all of our history has been fabricated. So where do you go from there, folks? You know, it's time for us to put all of this stuff down and realize that we've all been played. Everybody's been played. And that this whole so-called truth movement, most of it has simply been a fishing exercise, folks. They just want to know where all the awake people are and what people are thinking about. And now they're going to lock down and people are going to start disappearing. And that's just the way they're doing it. That's the way it's always been planned. So it's really important that people pay attention and start helping to wake up those around them, but at the same time, provide a safety net for these people so they don't move into fear. Let them see the opportunity that all of this situation is providing for us, because really it is. I mean, with all the bad stuff that's happening, folks, it's still one of the best opportunities for freedom we've ever had. But we have once again reached that time of the day where we are now at the end of the show. Thank you very much for joining me on the air today. It's actually gone quite quickly for me. And I hope you've enjoyed the conversation without getting too offended by some of the things that I said in the first half of the show. I mean, again, folks, I'm not trying to offend anybody's racial beliefs or anything like that. I just would really love to see people step back from things a little bit and look at things through their own eyes rather than the pair of glasses they've been given to view things through. You know, I just think it would be beneficial if people could do this, because so many of our problems have been contrived for us. And as I keep saying, divide and conquer is the motto, and you can see it so well within the parameters of this system. But again, thank you for joining me on the air today, folks. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Again, I'm speaking at Anacapulco in a couple of weeks. That'll be between the 13th and 17th of February. I look forward to speaking to all the people that are coming to that event. I'll be doing a workshop there as well as my talk. I'm not sure what day the workshop will be yet. We haven't quite worked that out, but I'll let you know during the talk when the workshop will be. After that, I'm going to go up and spend a couple of weeks in LA, and I'm not sure what I will be doing from that point, whether I'm going to be going back to the jungle, whether I'm going to be going to the UK for AB10, or whether I'm simply going to be coming home. I still haven't quite made my mind up at that. But I'm just sort of so tired and so over the travel, folks. I really would like to spend some time at home. So I'm thinking that's probably going to be what's on the cards, but I'll just play it by ear and see how I go over the next couple of weeks. I do envisage being able to bring you a radio show next week as well before I go, but then I will very likely be having at least 2 weeks off the air, because I'll be at Anacapulco on the 15th of February. I'll be arriving in LA just a couple of days before the 22nd of February, so I'm not quite sure whether I'm actually going to have the facilities to be able to hook up online and get a radio show out to you, but we'll just play it by ear and see how we go. But thank you for joining me on the air today, folks. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. If you're someone out there waiting for t-shirts, I'm waiting for black t-shirts and sand t-shirts to arrive, so I'm hoping that they're going to arrive and get printed and I'll be able to send them to you before I leave. But if I don't, if they haven't arrived here, then the best thing I'm going to be able to do is send you these orders once I get back, which could be anything from 2 weeks to 2 months. So we're just going to have to play it by ear. I'll put out a notice to let you know when I'm back in the country, and I'll get those T-shirt orders out to those people who ordered them as quickly as I possibly can. Those that have been still waiting for other orders, I've been kind of waiting for stickers to come in. I like to include a couple of stickers with the T-shirt orders to go out, and I keep thinking the stickers are going to arrive any moment and any day, and so I keep holding off mailing the T-shirt orders. But if they're not here by the middle of next week, I'll just send those orders out anyway. So thank you for your patience in that matter. And thank you to all those who continue to support me on Patreon as well. I must send a thank you out to you people, because I could not do any of this if it wasn't for you. But that is it for me, folks. I've now completely run out of time. So I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In luck, Keshe.